Lupin helped him to his feet. Ron put his weight gingerly on the leg, and didn't wince. "That's better," he said. "Thanks." "What about Professor Snape?" said Hermione in a small voice, looking down at Snape's prone figure. "There's nothing seriously wrong with him," said Lupin, bending over Snape and checking his pulse. "You were just a little over-enthusiastic. Still out cold? Perhaps it will be best if we don't revive him until we're safely back in the castle. We can take him like this," he muttered. "Mobile corpus!" As though invisible strings were tied to Snape's wrists, neck, and knees, he was pulled into a standing position, head still lolling unpleasantly like a grotesque puppet. He hung a few inches above the ground, his limp feet dangling. Lupin picked up the invisibility cloak and tucked it safely into his pocket. "And two of us should be chained to this," said Black, nudging Pettigrew with his toe, "just to make sure." "I'll do it," said Lupin. "And me," said Ron savagely, limping forwards. Black conjured heavy manacles from thin air. Soon Pettigrew was upright again, left arm chained to Lupin's right, right arm to Ron's left. Ron's face was set. He seemed to have taken Scabbers's true identity as a personal insult. Crookshanks leapt lightly off the bed and led the way out of the room, his bottle-brush tail held jauntily high.